pretty long siege, right? We have the siege, basically, that goes on for close to 8 years. Then, or I would say in the third year of the siege, so a 5-year siege. And ultimately, how does it end? It ends with the killing of Jehoiakim. Remember, we discussed that here it seems as if Jehoiakim, on one hand, is taken to Babel. On the other hand, he's going to be buried in Yerushalayim. We said what probably happened to him along the way. Dragged to his death. Do you remember this? Okay, back to Pasuk Bet. Vayitim Adonai biado et Jehoiakim melech Yehuda u'miksak klei beit Elokim. So please remember this. We're now going to be, again, in the third year, when the first stage of the siege. So we said if the siege is going to begin in the year 605, which is the year known as the War of Carchemish, the end of the victory of the Babylonians against the Assyrians and the Egyptians, so now Nebuchadnezzar is going to come to control the trade routes of Eretz Israel. And in the third year, so we're now in 602, and he's going to have enough with this rebellion of Jehoiakim. Again, so Carchemish, and Jehoiakim rebels. And then by 602, he's already going to do the following. Number one, he comes in, and there's a siege. In addition, sorry?
The rebellion is in 605, and the third year of the rebellion is 602, which when Daniel starts.
Beautiful. Kol HaKavod Ya'el. Excellent. So now, it starts with, and why does it start specifically here? Because this is when the siege begins, and Nebuchadnezzar already takes some, notice that I'm mentioning it like this, some clay Beit Hashem. Right, he takes some of the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. In addition, again, keep on going, he also takes Vayivim Erchinar Beit Elokav Tekilim Hevi Beit Otzar Elohav. He brings it to his temples and joins the temple treasures. And we also said Jehoiakim is basically going to surrender. But this is going to go on again for a little while. As a matter of fact, if we learn and look up in Sefer Malachim, that's where we find in 597, 5 years later, finally Jehoiakim is killed. And who takes over? His son, Yechoniah, whose name is changed to? And Jehoiachin ultimately, officially surrenders and is going to be taken off to Babylonia together with more kelim. And who remembers with what else? What is known as Galut Charash Masker. Right, what is a harash and masker? A harash is an artisan. What's you know, a masker is someone who works with metals. These were the aristocrats of society, the bourgeoisie, again, of the government. And here we already find that a significant number, or numbers, thousands of people are now going to be found in Babel. I want you just to keep this in mind, because starting 597 BCE, we have an amazing, I'm saying amazing, not in a positive, in as much as, again, almost an earth-shattering phenomenon, and that is for the first time ever in Jewish history, we have two viable Jewish communities, something that seems very, I would say, hackneyed to you today. Right, we have a Jewish community present in Eretz Yisrael, focused in Yerushalayim, and a Jewish community where, in Babylon. Now, why do I say viable Jewish community? Because the truth is that this isn't the first time that Jews are going to a diasporan community. When was the last time this happened? 130 years earlier was Galut Aseret HaShvatim. But why wasn't that really a viable Jewish community? What was the whole agenda of the Syrian government?
To assimilate,
right? It was forced assimilation. Here it's to the contrary. The Babylonians want to keep the Jews separate. Want, as you're going to see, everyone outside of the palace is encouraged to have their own community, almost very similar to New York, right? What happened to Jews in New York? When they immigrated to New York, they basically stayed amongst themselves.
The Lower East Side.
That's right, the Lower East Side. Thank you.
That's how they disintegrated to New Jersey.
Yes, meaning that's what happened. Slowly but surely, Jews start moving out to Long Island. Right, they start moving out. Believe it or not, even Flatbush and Borough Park came later. Right, again, when I talk about the 1950s, the 1960s, almost all the Jews were where? And the Lower East Side. That was the hub of the Jewish community. And then they started branching out. By the way, Jews who went to places like Seattle, Washington, and, I don't know, Memphis, and Atlanta, what happened to most of those Jews? So, not always. Isn't that sad? Many of those Jews ended up assimilate, because they were smaller, forcible. Once you bring in a viable community, meaning a significant number, then, believe it or not, they can stay together for a while, and then obviously they start to disperse. So here we have a viable Jewish community outside of Eretz Yisrael. Where is Daniel in all of this? So Daniel is taken even before Harash HaMasger. He's in Bavel before the artisans are in Bavel. So I want you to picture this for a moment as we go back to the Psukim, and now we'll understand it a little more. Sure enough, in the year 602, by VM Eret Shinar, Beit Elohav, Etekelim, Nevi, Beit Otsar Elohav, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomar Melech, La'ashpenaz, Rav Sarisav, La'vi Mibnei Yisrael, Umizera Hamlucha, Umin HaPartimim. So, sometime, again, between 602 and 597, Nebuchadnezzar had ordered one of his Rav Sarisav, the head of his eunuchs. Now, this is very interesting. Again, you know this from Megillat Esther as well, and I already want to put you in a pre-Purim mindset, because there are numerous parallels between Megillat Esther and Daniel. Why? On the most basic level, before I even look and see and find on my own the hundreds of parallels, and I'm really not exaggerating too much. Okay, fine, tens of parallels. But can anyone tell me on the most basic level, why would it make sense that Esther would be perhaps most similar out of all the Sefer Tanakh, most similar to Sefer Daniel? It's the same time period, very nice. Meaning, this is going to be the beginning of the Babylonian reign, and Esther takes place, again, less than 100 years later, according to most, again, but even if it's 150 years later, which is really what it seems, it's still within more or less the same time period, and the same, more than the same time period, it's the same geographical zone that we're talking about. Right, the area here of Babel is ultimately going to turn into Paras Madai. The capital city of Babel is going to be moved to just a few kilometers away to Shushan, again a little farther north to Shushan. Right, so notice that we're talking about the same setting. Right, the setting of the scene is basically the same, where we find Jews who are endangered, again, by their being in a diaspora community. We already discussed last year, if you remember, this newfound concept of anti-Semitism, which really doesn't exist before in Tanakh. Why not? Why don't I have anti-Semitism before Sefer Daniel?
We're all together.
Very nice. I mean, what does anti-Semitism mean? That I'm anti... Even the term anti-Semites began with anti-descendants of shame, but okay, turned into specifically against the Jews. So this terminology of being against the Jews only exists when Jews are amongst other people under another autonomy. But for the past 850 years of Tanakh life, Jews have been autonomous. Right? So we don't have anti-Semitism. Even when other nations are coming to conquer Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, is that because of anti-Semitism? No, that's because of imperialism and militarism, right? Not because of, and we are anti-Jews. We're just as much anti-Jews, and we're not even anti-Jews, we're anti-Israelites, because they control the trade routes that we need, not because they are particularly Jewish. They could be Aramites, and we'll do the same thing.
There is still some anti-Semitism,
though. Where? Today?
Yeah.
In? Now, this is interesting. So it's a person saying, how about today in Eretz Yisrael? Do we have anti-Semitism in Israel? Yes, by whom? Even though we're autonomous, it's because who else is living in the land now?
Arabs.
There are so many Arabs who want to destroy us, yes, because we're Jews. Right? So there still is some anti-Semitism, even though that, I would ask you, where is there more anti-Semitism? In Yerushalayim or in Paris?
Paris.
Thank you. How about Yerushalayim or New York?
Yeah.
Definitely. Right? Do you see this? Even if you don't see it, they might think even the opportunity for anti-Semitism, the phenomenon, exists so much more there. Sorry? Now, why do I say that the danger is greater in New York than in Yerushalayim, though? You're right, there are people away, because we're not autonomous. Right? That's exactly it. It's here, and at least we're in control. They were not in control. We are, like, super-duper vulnerable. I remember even when Ed Koch, Alach HaShalom, right, you know, he passed away, when he was mayor of New York, there was a terrible case of a yeshiva boy who was thrown off the Brooklyn Bridge. Do you know this?
What?
No.
He was, that was before your time. Oh my gosh, when I was like 19 years ago. Okay. So right, that was when Ed Koch, yeah. So there was a yeshiva boy who was like abducted on, like near the bridge, and they literally like, threw him off the bridge because...
He was Jewish.
Right, from Williamsburg, crossing the bridge. He was Jewish, and I remember the whole city was in an uproar. Right, you really don't remember this, right?
No.
The city, right, no, I'm still living, so sorry guys, it was more than 19 years ago. Oh my gosh. Can I just tell you an embarrassing story that just happened to me today?
Yes.
I see a mother and a daughter in the Jesuit Lindenau, I teach, and the mother, like, looks very nice, oh, hi. And sure enough, we start talking. She's friendly with a lot of my friends from Alon Shvot. And then she introduces me to her daughter. And her daughter, I said, oh, you'll be here next year? She said, no, she's in 11th grade in Vernon Academy. Again, she's looking into it for 2 years' time. I said, oh, there's somebody. She said, oh, are you Nina Harrigan's mother? Right? Meaning her mother knew my friend. So she asked, oh, are you Nina Harrigan's mother? So I'm looking at this 11th grader and I'm thinking, oh, she's going to seminar soon. And I said, oh, yes, I am. You must. And were you her counselor? So no, I was the same age. Yes. Meaning what happened to me? It was hard for me to think of my daughter, who I know is in 11th grade. It's hard for me to think of her as like a same age as you guys. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I was sometimes like, a year older than that. I can't get this. Like, I can't. That's why, like, I'm sorry that I'm in denial. You're right. This was like 26 years ago. I just realized that this story happened. But to me, like, you'll see everyone, that I'm still 19 years old, so this must have just happened, right? Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. So, back to this. Right. Now I turn around. Right. I realize, okay, well, that's right. See, at least your mother was my counselor.
Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm.
I forgot to ask her.
Like, getting closer. It's okay, she remembers, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure she does. She, like, remembers everyone, but...
Yeah. So did they come to visit you this year?
No, they're hiding in June.
In June?
Yeah.
That's very nice. The forest school.
My cousin Bar Mitzvah.
So,
yeah.
Which cousin?
Surrey, you know, my mom.
Surrey lives here?
No, they're coming for her
first. That's very nice. Surrey has a Bar Mitzvah son.
Yeah, it's her oldest.
That's right. So she's the same age as my sister, who I just realized is also making her first son's Bar Mitzvah. Oh, so yeah. That's very funny. And one other thing I want to tell you, yes, your uncle sends her daughter's son.
Yeah.
Okay, back to this. So the reason why I went through this is because even though the city of New York is in an uproar, could that happen? Meaning, no one was really shocked. It's just, how could you tolerate anti-Semitism? But you know that it happens, right? The fact that it could happen. Whereas, it's true that there are terrorist attacks here, but it's not as if, right, do you mind if I ask, do you feel unsafe walking the streets of Yerushalayim, thinking that you're going to be abducted and thrown out? No. Again, because there isn't, Baruch Hashem, there isn't the same phenomenon as anti-Semitism. And we're going to continue to see this, not only obviously in Daniel, but certainly in Esther as well, that this is the first time that we have to deal with Jews living, again, in an unassimilated environment, wherein there still is obviously going to be a realm of anti-Semitism. So with this, we continue, and we're going to see what happens. Then notice that, just like in Megillat Esther, everyone is a Saris. Anyone know what does the word Saris come from? Alta Saris. You're not allowed to, kind of, to castrate yourself, right? A man is not allowed to remove his sexual organs. And yet, it seems that everyone in the Babylonian and Persian governments was castrated. Why? And then they were called a Saris, namely a eunuch. Why were there so many eunuchs? Why would the king insist on, if you're going to be in his government, you have to castrate yourself?
No, Esther. Well, I don't know if you don't have any other things, like, I don't know. Like you're more focused.
Very nice. So that's one nice idea, right? That to make sure that you don't have a family life, that you're completely devoted to the king. Excellent. Another reason.
I apologize for missing the class because I have a permit to go at Aleph. You know what Aleph is?
Yes, yes, of course. So come hakavod, hello, ahava.
So I have a
cookie. I thought you were going to say something like we have like a penguin flight that we have to, you know, go to. But
I should be more creative.
That's okay. You look very, very cute. Was this Michal's costume last year?
This is Shoshana Linzer's.
Yeah. Hey, so you
just
tell her how many of you are going, so you're not going to be here for next class either. Let's stay there. Okay, enjoy penguin and buzzing. And
thank you for telling the
class. Penguins don't fly. No. They swim.
Yeah.
And they slide
on ice, but they do swim very fast.
Happy
yes, do a dance. That's a great idea.
That's what I'm going to do
exactly. Not a ladybug flight or something.
Yeah, my nails also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, we miss a math then. Call a couple. So now, we're going to see these are we seeing. You know, it's nice. Yes, one of the ideas, I guess, was to have them focused, but it was also because around the Persian government, there were also numerous.
Why?
This is just a depiction. for a young Jew going into this environment. Like, I remember the first time my kids were like old enough to appreciate, and I don't know, even like people need society for them, is, you know, still like they have to get used to certain ideas. Can you imagine as a Jewish person going into this Persian government and society wherein you have a woman walking around all the time in a very promiscuous manner, and therefore all the men around them are going to be eunuchs. So let's continue. So he sent off to bring specifically some of members of Israel, together with members of the monarchy, and from the upper classes. And the Parshanim in debate, are these three separate categories, or like the beauty contest of Esther, does it have to match all three? I want someone of monarchical descent who is a B'nai Israel member who is of the upper classes.
If they can't have children, how do they continue the dynasty of the monarchy?
Very nice. So the officers were the eunuchs, but the king.
Okay.
Very nice. And Haman, for example, the head officers didn't necessarily live on campus. Right. He had 10 sons.
Right.
So that's okay. So okay. We're talking about our, like the blue collar workers. Now, why would someone want to do this? Why would someone want to dedicate his life to the king then? And castrate himself. You're right. Meaning that
well,
no
not
to do that.
No,
it's like, a nun. Right? It's like a nun. Well, meaning either someone who's really devoted to the monarchy because it's also viewed as a religion, excellent, mamash, like very much on the mark, or if he doesn't have a choice. What do I mean by that?
Like,
punishment? Either he's punishment, excellent.
Why is he allowed to just not do it?
Or he's from the lower classes and
he needs work money.
So these are the three reasons why people became eunuchs.
So it's not like a special thing. It's
no,
like a lower,
no, it's a lower class. Correct.
Were people of monarchical descent not upper class?
Very nice. That's exactly the question. So he's saying, even amongst the monarchy, I want the partimim, which means really like the best of them. So you're right. That's an excellent question. That's also a sphere, which maybe means three separate things. Maybe monarchy, and you also have upper classmen who aren't necessarily part of the monarchy. If you see them as all three, then how can you have? So he means the best of the monarchials. So Yiladim. Now we find that really what's his greatest qualification he wants? Children. And this reminds me of Chibi Chibi Bing Bing. Right? The child.
So
creepy.
Can
you hear it right over?
No.
Chibi Chibi Bing Bing is creepy.
It's
right? I'm a nightmare. Thank you. I feel like I'm a nightmare for like years. Not just months. Anyway. And why does he want Yiladim? Can anyone tell me? For a king who is going to be exiling the people, why do they bring children? And why bring them before you're going to bring the rest of the population?
Because kids are more easy to influence, and he can be able to take care of them.
Beautiful. He wants to do what? He wants to create a new society in Babylonia.
I think there was like this video that we once saw about like young kids in like Germany.
Very nice.
Like,
same
like,
idea.
Like, I don't know what it was, but it was youth groups.
Excellent. Right, now why do that? Why create other youth groups? They're not as strong.
So by the time
you
like
to convince them, even though, as I said, it's going to be a viable Jewish community, his goal is ultimately that they'll see themselves not as Jewish Americans, but as American Jews. Do you see that? And this is the way that he'll guarantee that they're going to become slowly but surely assimilated within the government. And by the way, does that happen? Meaning the Jews who were brought up second-generation immigrants. What happened to them in New York? Most of them assimilated. Right? Most of them lost the traditional because they were brought up already with these surroundings. Yeladim asher ein bahem kolmum. Now we're going to see further qualifications. They have to be physically unblemished. The tovei mareh, he wants them to be good-looking. Umaskilim. They also have to be
smart.
B'chol chokhmah. Not just a little smart, they have to be smart in every discipline. V'yodei da'at. Anyone know what this means in Tanakh? V'yodei da'at. Today, in modern Hebrew, the science classes are called Mada. Right? Excellent. Sorry, guys. They're not called Teva, right, which is what sometimes we teach like kids in Gan Yeladim. They learn Teva, and then already you have Mada'im. Right, so da'at here means science. I want them to know the sciences. Umivine Mada. And also know, here, what's mada? Knowledge in general, some say even philosophy. Ay, ay. Turning this off after that. Asher koach bahem. What else do they have to have?
Strength.
So it seems, according to most Parshanim, that this is a physical attribute. According to others, again, Asher Kalach Behem, juxtaposed with all the other terminologies, means actually what type of strength, a certain level of motivation, tenacity, to be able, for example, to sit in the library. They have to be able to withstand pressure, meaning koach can mean physical or also psychological strength. La'amod behechal hamelech. Right, now we understand why. In order for them to stand in the chambers of the king. So if it's physical strength, what does it mean? Then what are they going to have to do all day?
Stand.
Very nice. No breaks. That's right. Or, wait, you remember learning this?
Yeah.
Very nice. So what else? Beautiful. Lamod be'echal ha'melech. What else can it mean? Psychological strength to do what? To be able, not la'amod, literally stand, but beautiful, to withstand, right? Meaning to be able to contribute to ve'echal ha'melech. Yael, you want to say something else, though?
Yeah, my teacher related them to, like, the bonus. What are they called? In the palace in England? You would have to, like,
the guards. Oh, like in Westminster.
Yeah.
Right, the ones who are the changing of mind, they're not allowed to move, and they're very nice. But they only strengthen, and that's how some parts of Nimra, she understands it exactly like that, that they need koach because they're not allowed to move, they're not allowed to do anything. He wants them as officers. But that's a little strange because as officers, they have to be super smart?
No.
And do they have to be good looking? No. So it seems that it's more even something psychological, right? That they have to have, like, these have to be your super kids, right? Your whiz kids and your, what do I mean by that? Like, people, think about it, who were brought up in pish-posh families who were naturally brilliant, right? Not just culturally brilliant. Top schools, outstanding. Do we have those schools, by the way, in America, even in Israel?
Yes.
Very nice.
Just like, you know, those, like, perfect
Mitsuya,
kids.
The perfect kids. But really, we're going to call the prodigy, so that's right. Which means, what do you mean, Caleb, that they can do everything? Not just that they're smart, they also, they're idiot savants, right? They play the piano and at least one instrument.
And they're good looking.
They're good looking. And they're athletes. Are there such kids?
Prep school. Is that
my major called them the
Very nice. Right, that's good. From Greece. Exactly. The perfect Athenian. The perfect Athenian was someone who and was modeled after, right? Athens versus Sparta, where they only worked in Sparta. It was a militia city. You had to be, again, strong, and they even had contests just to basically wipe out the contestants, right? That doesn't mean to wipe them out. They'd be killed, right? That was very nice to see who the strongest Spartan was. In Athens, again, it was more than that. In Athens, they also had to develop intellectually, right? And it seems that there were always tensions between Athens and Sparta. And you can see the movie
Sparta.
Right now, there really is such a thing. Oh, really?
300.
I guess they don't have. The genetic engineering, so the children come out perfect.
I saw them do that.
Imagine, by the way, if society, can you tell me about how many children do you have like this? Let's say if I take children ages 8 to 16,
I think a YouTube video about this is
really.
He's like 14 and he's teaching
organic
Now that he's involved in whatever he's involved, he basically has zero kind of control.
Because he found something
that he feels confident with.
Yeah. So the social arena is no longer.
If you pay attention, you can see.
thing.
It's like that very cult.
And it's really
it's probably like how master of
Lawrence. Yeah. Right.
So,
Lawrence always has a little more shit. Okay, back to this. So I just want you to recognize, by the way, do you think that Nebuchadnezzar only did this with the Jewish kids?
No.
No. Meaning every country that he went to conquer, as we said, why does he want these kids to contribute to his government? And ultimately, they will be the leaders of the next generation. So on one hand, we see them as Jewish. On the other hand, they're very, very quickly going to become assimilated within the government. So he brings in the best and the brightest, Ganath, within his country itself. And our sense is that he's going to castrate them. But, don't worry, we're going to wait and see what happens. Some actually do explain that Daniel's going to be one of these children. It's going to come in Mishal Bazaria. We find that they have any children, anyway. So according to most, beyond their, think about this, meaning this is torture. Beyond their choice, what happens? Our sense is that they are castrated. Isn't that possible? However, and therefore Chazal even say, Hatach, you know where Miguel Esther, what in the Sari scene, the one between? Guess what? He was Daniel. According to another opinion, Harbona, who is another Saris, was Daniel.
Is that like the Nazis and the Jewish women out
there? Yeah, they did it to women. I mean, Nazis said it's women out of torture and scientific experiments. Here he's saying is that they'll be loyal to the king and they won't have any
torture.
Which
was torture also. The Nazis,
right, Nazis was more torture.
Say, but Baba also.
Right, I don't know if they did it. They didn't do it to torture these kids, right? They want the kids to benefit.
They do it in Africa.
Government, but they do it where?
In Africa. I saw one or not at once.
As torture?
No,
or
like as a normal ritual for the women to be castrated.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No, they
circumcised. Yeah, circumcised. It's not castrated.
Ah, right. But that's not. That's female circumcision.
Castrated is only
the clitoris, which is to deny them their sexual pleasure, but that's not that they can't be fertile.
Castrated is not the word for women, is it?
You can't castrate a woman.
What is
that?
Exactly.
It's a hysterectomy. Okay. You her womb.
Wait, why would they do that in India?
No one in
they give them.
No one in South
Africa.
In Arabic countries. Undergo female circumcision in order to take away her sexual pleasure. So she won't be left from the suicide. Very mean. Yes, it really is. That is, and disgusting. Okay. Here we go. Back to castrating Daniel. The shot that says that maybe they weren't castrated is because they were supposed to be without a womb. Question is, do you see castration as a womb? If yes, definitely in Judaism. Someone who's castrated, we see that as a major womb. It's an Isser Del Reisa. And but if, again, here's something interesting. That
a woman also?
Sarisafra woman, yeah. She's not allowed to remove her reproductive organs, yeah.
So they wouldn't have a family.
Here we go. Correct. Some people do that. So now, Yelatim, and what would they do? Stay there. And all goal is to know that they would be ones that they could be taught the books and the Shomasi. So once you're already naturally intelligent, it's going to be very easy to teach you the language of the Babylonians. So now we already know their agenda is to take these talents and obviously have them invest in Babylonian culture. Vayiman lahem hamelech. Anyone remember where else you find this word? It's known as a hapex legomenon. Are you familiar with this terminology? It's almost Purim. By now you should know this.
Like hepatitis.
Legomenon. And hepa is actually a hepax, is a word or a syntax, right? A term.
One.
That only appears once in Lego is in the text. So, again, this is a word that only appears once in the text in the canon. Now, most hapex legomenon aren't pure hapex legomenon, meaning in Tanakh it means a word that rarely appears. For example, the word ma'achelet only appears three times in Tanakh. Very nice. But even broader, meaning in all of Tanakh, the word bayiman only appears five times in all Chazal Sefer Tanakh, and four of the times it appears in Sefer Yonah. Right,
so
only once
weird.
In, yes, very weird, which means that you have to. This was a doctoral thesis written by one of Wellhausen, who created a documentary hypothesis, one of the students. So, already after 100 years. Very nice. You should note that
this idea of a mila yachida ibramikra. People knew about it, but you're right, it's hard, you know, to always keep track of it. But already during the times of the Tanaim and Amoraim, you should know, we have in the back of the Gemara even, and certainly during the times of the printings of the Gemara, we have Dikduke Sofrim, which are people who would go through both the Tanakh and the Gemara and find all these interesting phenomena. Exactly, like writing a Kumpentarchi or finding out how many times the name Abraham appears in Tanakh. Now, what's interesting is that the original manuscripts aren't really written in a very organized framework, which gives us the impression that they were written by kids. Isn't that interesting? With very bad handwriting. And now, why do I say that? Because this would be the perfect pastime for children. Imagine what kids can do when they don't have iPads and And that's something to think about. So, again, what would you do for fun? Wouldn't you count the number of times that Avram appears in Tanakh?
Yeah.
For sure.
That's actually cool.
No, I'm serious.
It's like a good game.
It's like a game. Yeah. It's like playing, I'm sure you've done, like Tanakh geography.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, okay, how many names in Tanakh now start with the letter Yud?
Right.
A lot.
Okay.
But what was hard hay?
That hay is a hard one, but not so hard if you know Megillah Esther.
Right, hold on.
Hatach.
Right, but
I was thinking
that was more difficult.
Was it Esther, like, when they were
castrated,
right?
Who was castrated? All of them. All the Saracens.
Hagai, Hatach, Shesh, Gaz, Memuchan, Karona.
So
they all
sleep
with the king's wives. Correct. That's amazing. That was amazing. That's why they were in charge of the houses and the
women. Exactly. You had to be a eunuch if you were going to be in charge of
them. Wouldn't it also decrease the possibility of rebellion, because if somebody wanted to become the king, they would want to have the dynasty.
Interesting. Very nice, right? And this way, but not necessarily, because I'll get it even if my kids don't get it. A Saris, there is no successor.
The king was.
That's why they were the lower class officers. They weren't really.
But Haman wasn't a lower class.
Right, Haman wasn't a Saris.
He had
10 kids. And so now let's continue. Here, now we get to perhaps one of the most tense pasukim. And the king would order Vayiman means a particular appointment. Remember, Vayiman Hashem Da Gadol Lebo'a Et Yonah? Remember this? It means an actual appointment. You're the one who's going to go Chazal from here, that Hashem had set the Da aside from Shishin Mim Rishit, but basically means a particular appointment. So the king ordered their menu every day. Basically, who oversee the welfare of these super talented kids?
Okay.
The king himself. Vayiman l'mam melech d'var yom yamom mipat bag hamelech o miyein mishtav. What would you choose for them? Pat bag hamelech. You know the word is pat. Very nice. Select bread. As a matter of fact, Menachem Cohen, who wrote the Perush of that mikvah here, says pat equals bag, meaning that bag is the Persian word for pat. It's like saying lachmaniya bread. Right? Meaning that's a baguette bread. No, a baguette is
bread.
A lachmaniya is bread, but that's the term that's used, right? If I want to say like Israeli bread, I'll say lachmaniya bread. Right? Or pizza bread. Do any of you ever say that? Pizza bread?
Yeah.
Do you have to say pizza bread?
This pizza?
No, he does it pizza.
Like the Roma square.
Excellent. And the Roma square. People the really Roma do square. That? They call it the Roma square? That's
yeah.
So funny. Okay, but yes, that's an excellent example. By the way, why is this significant?
He gives them choice wines, right? Meaning the yain mishtav that he himself drinks from.
Meaning he orders a very specific fine cuisine menu. And you'll see exactly what it consists of in just a moment. But notice this. Again, how do I know that this is Persian for bread? Because in Megillat Esther, I find someone named
Bigtan,
and he works together with someone named
Teresh.
Why is that interesting? Bigtan and Teresh, I'm going to prove to you, are not their names. Rather, these are two Sarisim. Very nice. Who is Mr. Bigtan? He is the... What else do you call him?
It's like Sarha Oma Sarha.
That's so weird.
Dude, what's
did I
ever
read this?
No.
Oh, Teresh is Tirosh.
That's so
weird. In Tanakh.
That's such a weird word.
Why don't they teach us?
They really never told
us. I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that.
That's
really?
A very cool
hey, are you learning Megillat Esther over
there?
No.
And they really don't point this out?
No.
Okay, so if that's the case, now I can have a good time. Just for
really
a second. Take a look at this. Firstly, what do you know about Bigtan and Teresh? What are, so obviously you know them, Megillat Esther is not just based on Daniel. The other most popular story that it's based on is the Yosef story. Excellent. Why?
Because there we have another phenomenon of, that's actually the first example of a Jew, right?
Oh, there's a million parallels.
Living, a million parallels. So again, we're both exaggerating. Tens of parallels, but yes, indeed. So notice this, that, why does it make a lot of sense? Pikton and Teresh are like Sarah Ophim and Sarah Mashkim, because the baker and the butler are going to get together to possibly create a mutiny against the king. That's why Paro puts them both in prison, because they're probably working in cohorts one with the other, right? That makes a lot of sense. Chazal even say they really were. And just that, it could be that the Sarah Mashkim, why is he emancipated in the end? It could be that his poison or his fly ends up coming on its own, whereas the baker definitely had to be a little more intentional or intentionally negligent in order to kill the king with, let's say, a rock inside, something like that. So notice, by the way, Chazal themselves recognize the relationship between Bigton and Teresh and Sarah Mashkim and Sarah Ophim by saying, oh my gosh, what do you know? And it's the same story. So Chazal say, just like Hashem planted the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ophim in Yosef's cellar for what purpose?
To get Yosef up.
So too, Hashem planted Bigton and Teresh so that Mordecai, ultimately, that's going to be ultimately the seed of his salvation. Right? Isn't this amazing? Now, can I show you something else about Bigton and Teresh? I'm going to prove to you, number one, that you have to look at them like Tweedledum and Tweedledee, right? That they're definitely working together, which also tells you that there's a certain theme in Megillas Esther of most of the characters working together in pairs, right? Can you prove it to me? Who are the pairs?
Haman
and Zeresh, or Haman and Ahasuerosh. And that's how we can say it. Or Mordechai, who's the Brucha Esther. And Haman and Zeresh, believe Achashverosh, but it's basically Haman and Achashverosh are the ones, right one. Thank you. And how about Carbona? The down for Carbona is a four letter. So he's a according to Shmuel, we don't like Carbona. Why? Because if he knew about the tree, then everyone in the story has a pair. How does he know about the tree?
The tree.
Who's his partner? He knows about the tree, the gallows that Haman prepared for Mordechai. How does he know about it? Only who knows about it? Haman and his fan club. Remember B'chol Ohavav? Which means that who's Carbona? He's a partner in crime with. So why does Carbona say, V'gam, hinei ha'eit, sasher yafi, and Haman l'Mordechai? Why does he say that? What does he realize when Haman...
He
is falling aggressive.
You know,
thank you. So I may as well save myself. My partner has just been convicted. What's he going to do? If I don't get him killed, he's going to give me away. So, is Carbona a good guy?
No.
I think she's really not a good guy. But what do we say? Vegan Carbona. We don't like Carbona. We like what he said about Vegan. Right? Even the songs that Vegan, 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 Vegan. We like Carbona's Vegan. Vegan. You know how it's that he says. That's Vegan Carbona. The Gam of Carbona is a Chorlato. Was he himself good?
No.
No, the Gam of his, we remember for a good thing.
You know the Nazi and Purim thing?
Yeah.
My is so good. Can you say it?
That's my mom's
favorite.
I say it.
Okay. No, I do. But
there are a lot of details. So I'll be honest. Every time, even though like I read it 100 times, I read it just internet. Purim Fest Nuremberg.
Yeah.
What is it?
That's my mother.
I'm sure you've heard it. And she knows all the details. Exactly.
Discovery.
11 and Hihan sells her.
Yeah.
Let's take a look and prove up Big Time and Terrace. Everyone want to see something else that's really amazing? So, firstly, now you know that they're Sarah Ophim Sarah Mashkim. Now you know that they are also setting a literary precedent for all the characters in Gilead Esther to be working as partners in crime. And now you also know that these may not be their personal names. Let's prove it. Are you all familiar with the literary idea in Tanakh of Atbash?
Yeah.
How do I know that it's a Tanakh idea? It's not like a mantra. I'm serious. It's actually in Tanakh. Yirmiyahu writes one of his letters this way in Parakhafei with Atbash.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Yeah. It's like secret Tanakh code, but it's not really so secret because it's just taking the first and the last letters. Take a look at what happens over here.
I'll bring it
up. Everyone see this?
Wait, what's that?
Teresh. The Teresh is the Atbag. Everyone see this? Bash.
The top world is here.
The
the way that it works, yes. Bash, right, bet and shin are the parallel sides of the alphabet. Kimmel and Reish, right, that's how it works. At bash, gar, dak, right, you're following this? Tough and tough. So tan and vat are prefixes and suffixes, right? Its name isn't, we said it comes from vad. Big tan just means that he's the, what does it mean? He is the man in charge of, that's like saying instead of, he is the man of baking, so he is the baker. So the tan is the ER, right? You see, that's just the suffix. Vit teresh is, he's the one in charge of the rosh. Again, the yayin, right? Do you see this? So these are just the prefix and the suffix that match up with the tuff and the bag and the
rosh.
It's really the bag and the rashar. So is it really two people? It's like Tweedledum and Tweedledee. What do I mean by that? Do you mean
it's not someone?
It's really one and the same.
There's a lot of things that say there are two people, and then there are these things.
So that's exactly it. What they're trying to say is that there are two people who are really one character, meaning
one.
There are two.
Role.
There are two, but it's one role. Exactly. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Very nice. Just to show you that these aren't their personal names. And it's another way, if you were reading Megillat Esther, to be a little more sensitive than to what? To all the names that are used and the characters that are employed.
Why did you teach us Megillah?
I would love to. Mm-hmm.